Psalm 179:2. Thus it is in the Christian life. The closer we come to Christ, the nearer we shall be to one another. God is glorified, as His people unite in harmonious action. Psalm 179:3. Let each help the other. The family firm is a sacred, social society, in which each member is to act a part, each helping the other. The work of the household is to move smoothly, like the different parts of well-regulated machinery. Psalm 179:4. Every member of the family should realize that a responsibility rests upon him individually to do his part in adding to the comfort, order, and regularity of the family. One should not work against another. All should unitedly engage in the good work of encouraging one another. They should exercise gentleness, forbearance, and patience, speak in low, calm tones, shunning confusion, and each doing his utmost to lighten the burdens of the mother. 179.5. Each member of the family should understand just the part he is expected to act in union with the others. All, from the child 6 years old and upward, should understand that it is required of them to bear their share of life's burdens. 180.1. A fitting resolve. I must grow in grace at home, and wherever I may be, in order to give moral power to all my actions. At home I must guard my spirit, my actions, my words. I must give time to personal culture, to training and educating myself in right principles. I must be an example to others. I must meditate upon the Word of God night and day and bring it into my practical life. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is the only sword which I can safely use. 181.2. Chapter 28, The Child's First School. God's original plan for education. The system of education established in Eden centered in the family. Adam was the son of God, Luke 3:38, and it was from their father that the children of the highest received instruction. Theirs, in the truest sense, was a family school. 181.1. In the divine plan of education, as adapted to man's condition after the fall, Christ stands, as the representative of the Father, the connecting link between God and man. He is the great teacher of mankind. And he ordained that men and women should be his representatives. The family was the school, and the parents were the teachers. 181.2. The education centering in the family was that which prevailed in the days of the patriarchs. For the schools thus established, God provided the conditions most favorable for the development of character. The people who were under His direction still pursued the plan of life that He had appointed in the beginning. Those who departed from God built for themselves cities, and, congregating in them, gloried in the splendor, the luxury, and the vice that make the cities of today the world's pride and its curse. But the men who held fast God's principles of life dwelt among the fields and hills. They were tillers of the soil and keepers of flocks and herds, and in this free, independent life, with its opportunities for labor and study and meditation, they learned of God and taught their children of His works and ways. This was the method of education that God desired to establish in Israel. 181.3. In ordinary life the family was both a school and a church, the parents being the instructors in secular and in religious lines. 182.1. The family circle, a school. In His wisdom the Lord has decreed that the family shall be the greatest of all educational agencies. It is in the home that the education of the child is to begin. Here is his first school. Here, with his parents as instructors, he is to learn the lessons that are to guide him throughout life, lessons of respect, obedience, reverence, self-control. The educational influences of the home are a decided power for good or for evil. They are in many respects silent and gradual, but if exerted on the right side, they become a far-reaching power for truth and righteousness. If the child is not instructed aright here, Satan will advocate him through agencies of his choosing. How important, then, is the school in the home? 182.2. Look upon the family circle as a training school, where you are preparing your children for the performance of their duties at home, in society, and in the church. 182.3. Home education first in importance. It is a sad fact, almost universally admitted and deplored, that the home education and training of the youth of today have been neglected. 182.4. There is no more important field of effort than that committed to the founders and guardians of the home. No work entrusted to human beings involves greater or more far-reaching results than does the work of fathers and mothers. 182.5 It is by the youth and children of today that the future of society is to be determined, and what these youth and children shall be depends upon the home. To the lack of 183 right home training may be traced the larger share of the disease and misery and crime that curse humanity. If the home life were pure and true, if the children who went forth from its care were prepared to meet life's responsibilities and dangers, what a change would be seen in the world. 182.6 All else to be secondary. Every child brought into the world is the property of Jesus Christ, and should be educated by precept and example to love and obey God, but by far the largest number of parents have neglected their God-given work, by failing to educate and train their children, from the first dawning of reason, to know and love Christ. By painstaking effort parents are to watch the opening, receptive mind and make everything in the home life secondary to the positive duty enjoined upon them by God, to train their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.